You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Well, folks, many of you will know the name Pastor Perry F. Rockwood from the People's Gospel Hour. He has been serving God for many, many years, and we're very thankful for what he does. Some of you disagree with the way he does it, but hey, that's why it's the body of Christ. We all have various ways of doing things. But anyway, Pastor Perry Rockwood joins us on the phone to talk about the King James Version and why he thinks that really it is the only authorized version of the Bible that we should be reading. Pastor Perry Rockwood, thank you for joining us. What's the weather like out in the East Coast?
It's kind of cloudy, a little sunny, about 60 degrees today. The wind is a little cool, but it's not a bad day.
And have you lived out that way your whole life?
Well, I was born in New Glasgow in 1917, and that's 100 miles away. And then I'm here in Halifax. I've lived in Halifax here since 1963.
Well, thank you for serving God for so many years. When did you first surrender your life to Christ?
1936. I went to church the first time in 7 years. Never saw a Bible in my home, and the preacher that night, a man invited me to church, and the preacher that night showed me that I was a sinner, and that Christ died for me. And I received him as my Savior.
Yeah, I guess you probably haven't looked back ever since, have you?
Look back.
No, good for you. Well, listen, the one thing that you're known for, well, you're known for many things, but one of the things you're known for, Pastor Rockwood, is, you know, your stand on only using the King James Version, correct?
Right.
Right. Can you explain to us why you feel that way?
I'd like to treat it in two ways. First of all, I want to give a personal application of why I stand on the King James Bible.
Okay.
When I was saved in 1936, I went to church and never knew a verse of Scripture, and the preacher gave me John 3:16 after I was saved. And that verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And for the next, oh, I'd say 7, 8, 9, 10 days, I'd say to myself, "Now, how do you know you're saved? Is this Bible really God's Word?" And so I would say John 3:16, and I say, "Yes, on the basis of John 3:16 and the working of the Holy Spirit, I know that I'm saved." Well, then, God also called me to preach. And so in order to preach, I had to go, of course, to a university, 7 years of university. And I thought, now, is this Bible real? I have no money. I have no resources. I don't want to borrow any money. And so with $18 in my pocket, not a suit of clothes, I started out for university. I didn't even know if they would enroll me or not, but they did. And I bought an Acadia sweater. I had a pair of trousers and 2 shirts. And I said, now, is this Bible real? God shall supply all your need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Will God do the exceeding abundantly for me? And for 4 years, I went through university and graduated without a debt. The next year, I had to go to Montreal, Presbyterian College of McGill. I arrived there with 25 cents in my pocket. And God undertook. I went out the next Sunday and preached, got $7. I got my trunk out and carried on there. Then the next 2 years, I went to Knox College in Toronto. And God just undertook, and I found that the Bible, as I have it right there in my hand even now, the King James Bible, God said, "I will supply your need," and he supplied my need. Well, then I was ordained in the Presbyterian Church, and in 1946 I preached 4 messages, the church sick unto death. The church presbytery there, they said, "This is not being loyal to the church. We're going to take you up in public trial," which they did in Halifax. 22 preachers and elders and told me that I wasn't loyal. They told me to burn my sermons, never again preach them or get out. Well, I had to get on my knees and say, "Lord, is this Bible real? Will God look after me? I'm on a salary now. I have a pension plan. I have a free home. I have a good reputation and everything here. But, Lord, if I leave, then I have nothing. And so, Lord, is this word sufficient for me?" And so again, I went through these verses, what God is able to do, and I left the church. I left the pension. I left the free home. I left my salary. I left everything and walked out in the street and started the People's Church in Truro, Nova Scotia, in March 1947. Well, God gave me a burden for reaching beyond the church on a radio ministry. And on September the 7th, 1947, I had to get before the Lord again and say, Lord, this is the Bible. Is it true? Can God provide for a radio ministry? And so from then on, God really undertook, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And is that real? Is that faith real? Well, today, on the basis of the Word of God, and we meet every day as a staff, we meet for prayer, for God to save souls and to supply the need. And today our broadcast is on every day in New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, twice a day in Chicago, St. Louis, Atlanta, twice a day in Washington, D.C., Miami, Boston, twice in Vancouver, twice in Calgary, twice in Edmonton, Winnipeg, five times can be heard in Toronto, twice in Montreal. We're on 6 days a week in the Russian language in Moscow and St. Petersburg, stationed in Milan, Italy, reaching 45 nations all over Europe. We're on Palestine, Israel, Iraq, and Iran. We're on five stations in Africa. We're on Taiwan and China.
Pastor Rockwood, that's quite a commercial. And I guess what I want to know from you is why the King James Version only?
Well, I've given you now the practical aspect that on the basis of the King James Version, God has proven himself to me. That's all I'm saying.
No, but you actually sort of said based on the Bible. And I guess from your point of view, that means the King James Version. But the issue is not whether God's Word is true. The issue is why is it the King James Version is the only one that's true?
Well, because all the versions interfere with the deity of Christ and take away the authority of the Word of God. For example, 1954, 55, 56, the Revised Standard Version came out. I bought 100 copies for our book room. We sold seven. And then I found out in Isaiah 7:14, the Bible reads, here's what the Bible reads, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Why, in that version they said, a maiden shall conceive. Another one says, a young girl can conceive. Well, it's no sign, no miracle. For a maiden to conceive, a young girl to conceive, the miracle is that the virgin shall conceive. And how do we know that's true? I turn to Matthew chapter 1, and I read there, the birth of Christ was on this wise. And then it says in verse 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Right. So you saw a discrepancy there. Do you think, Pastor Rockwood, that anyone can actually be saved by reading another version?
If it's the same translation of the King James, they can. I'm saying no, but that if the it's authority of the Word of God is weakened by all these versions.
Right, so do you think someone can actually be saved by reading another version that is not in direct correlation with the King James Version?
That I can't say no, but as far as I'm concerned, there's no salvation in all these versions as far as their teaching is concerned. They are off the devil 100%.
Right.
And if they take away the deity of Christ, what have we left?
I mean, obviously there's detractors to what you're saying, and they would say, look, let's talk about how many times the King James Version talks about unicorns, which are fictitious animals.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
You don't?
No, I don't. All I know is...
Numbers 23, 22, 24, 8, Deuteronomy 33, Job 39. I mean, there's, you know, the list goes on, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I don't know anything about that at all.
Oh.
All I know is that on the basis of the King James Bible, Jesus Christ is presented as God. And all these versions, they take away the deity of Christ. For example, Mark 19:17, he said unto them, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God.
Hmm.
Take away God, they put he, and they leave out God altogether. Christ is not God according to them.
You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons really like to use the King James Version a lot, and they use the King James Version, or the Jehovah's Witnesses do, against the Christians because it states in Romans 8, verse 16 and 8:26 that the Holy Spirit is itself. Instead of himself, they claim the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force and use the King James Version to support this in their argument against the Trinity. So, like, every time I've come up and chatted with Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, Mormons use the King James Version in their endeavors to exalt the Book of Mormon, because in the Book of Acts, there's three accounts of the Apostle Paul's conversion experience, and seemingly, as it's worded in the King James Version, there are contradictions between these accounts of his salvation, Acts 9 and 22:9. They use this contradiction, which really is no contradiction at all, to discredit the Bible in their indirect attempt, of course, to exalt the Book of Mormon. So I guess I have a hard time with those two aspects.
Yeah, well, I don't at all. As far as I'm concerned, the Mormons come, they don't stay very long in the King James Version. They get put you right into the Book of Mormons, which, of course, is of the devil.
Right.
As far as Jehovah's Witness is concerned, the word it, there, that's just simply a translation of the Greek, it, but it's referring to the Holy Spirit. It's not an impersonal reference to the Holy Spirit. It's just presenting the Holy Spirit as he's presented in the Word of God. And all of these false cults, all of these versions, they're doing away with the deity of Christ. And the thing is, the Bible has promised to preserve the Word of God.
Right.
And we have the Word of God is preserved in the Word of God as we have it today in the King James Bible. All the others is a watering down, a weakening of what God wants us to know in the Word of God. After all, we don't know about heaven. We don't know about hell. We don't know about salvation. We don't know about eternal life except through the Word of God. Well, if they take away the deity of Christ, if they take away the fact that we don't have a Bible just in the original languages, it's not preserved to this day, we don't have the authority of the Bible. And when I look back and think of men like D.L. Moody, C.H. Spurgeon, Dr. T.T. Shields in Toronto, Dr. Philpott in Hamilton, and some of these great men of God, they never had a version.
Right.
They never knew a version, but the power of God was there. They had prayer meetings three times a week. They had more people out at night than in the morning.
Now, the modern King James Version edition that you read from, is it from 1611?
The one I read from,
yeah,
the
is
King
that,
James?
Yeah, is that from 1611?
Right.
It is.
Yeah.
So it's not the Blaney edition of 1769?
It's preserved. It's carried on. It's the same edition, all right, right back to Wycliffe.
Well, there were a few changes from 1611. Like, they made changes in 1613, 1629, 1638, 1762, and 1769.
The only primary the differences are in the spelling. For example, in John 9, the account of the man born blind, they had the verse B-L-I-N-D-E. Our words, B-L-I-N-D, when you look at it from the point of view from the ear, there's really no difference at all. They, for example, they have the word sin, S-I-N-N-E. Well, we have it today, S-I-N. And the word born is spelled B-O-R-N-E. Those little changes don't mean a thing.
Right.
It's just a matter in the from the ear point of view and the spelling, but the message is the same. There's no great change.
Does the 1611, help me understand this, all right? The 1611 King James Version, which is the one we're basing everything on, doesn't it claim that purgatory is true since the Apocrypha was included in the 1611 Version?
Well, the Apocrypha was included just in the very first part of the 1611, but they realized right away it shouldn't be there. It was taken right out.
When was it taken out?
I'm not sure of the year, but it was taken out very soon after the 1611 at that time.
But the original 1611 version, which everyone's real happy about in your neck of the woods, it did include the Apocrypha.
It did at the very beginning, and then they simply right away took it right out when they realized it shouldn't be there.
Right,
realized
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I know that the proponents of King James Version only, such as yourself, get bothered at the other translations of leaving words out.
Yeah.
I guess my response to that would be, how do you know that the King James Version didn't add these words?
Well, because they came from the true text. You see, there are only two texts. There's the Westcott and Hort, who were just simply evolutionists, unbelievers,
right,
early people. And then there's the Textus Receptus. And on the basis of that Textus Receptus, that has been preserved from the very time that God spoke his word to man, and man put it down. For instance, Paul put it down. He said, this I've received from you, from the Lord, that which also I depart unto you. He received from the Lord. It was put down in the original text. It's been preserved to this day.
Right. Folks, we're on the phone with Pastor Perry F. Rockwood from the People's Gospel Hour, and then we'll get your opinions a little bit later on the show about the King James Version being the only authorized version that we should be reading from. Pastor Rockwood, I'm looking at a flow chart here that shows that the King James Version came from the Geneva 1560. the Great 1539, Matthews 1537, the Cloverdale 1535, Tyndale 1525, Wycliffe 1380, the Masoretic Text AD 500 to 950, Vulgate AD 400, ancient versions, and then ancient copies, and then earlier copies, and then original manuscripts. So it kind of went through a whole lot of stuff before it came to, became the King James Bible.
Well, it probably did, but it was just preserved by God from the very beginning. God was in the whole thing. Every single Bible, except the King James, is based on the Westcott and Horn.
So you're saying that the nearly infallible version, which is what we like to joke around and call it, but the NIV, the Today's English Version, the Amplified Bible, the Berkeley Bible, the NEB, which is, what's that, the New English Bible, I guess? I don't know. I've never seen the NEB. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I think it's the New English Bible.
Yeah. The Revised Standard Version, the NASB, and the New King James Version, they're all bunk.
They are. They're not of God. They're off scholarship. They're based on scholarship. They're based on man's wisdom. And the Bible says the world by wisdom knew not God.
Right.
We want the wisdom of God, and that's been preserved through the Textus Receptus text that from which we get the King James Version today. Every version, the New King James, the NIV, the RSV, every version has come from the Westcott and Hort text, and therefore they are not God's word. They're not the preserved word of God.
Do you know Edwin H. Palmer?
No, I don't.
Okay, here's somebody that puts a quote in. I want your response to this quote, if you don't mind. It says, "Do not give them a loaf of bread covered with an inedible, impenetrable crust, fossilized by 3.5 centuries. Give them the word of God as fresh and warm and clear as the Holy Spirit gave it to the authors of the Bible. For any preacher or theologian who wants God's word to go on being misunderstood because of the veneration of an archaic, not understood version of 4 centuries ago is inexcusable and almost unconscionable." How would you respond to that?
Oh, I respond to it that as far as I'm concerned, I have the living word of God. The Bible says the word of God is quick and sharp and powerful. And when I go on my knees before the word of God and say, "Lord, I want you to put me on another station next week. I'm going on Philadelphia, and I want to go on more stations, and
yeah.
I want God to supply." I just go to the word of God, and I don't care where he can say, talk about 4 centuries or whatever he's talking about. I don't know anything about it.
Right.
All I know is that I have in my hand the word of the living God.
But his point is that there are over 800 words and phrases in the days of King James that have changed their meaning and are no longer used in our modern everyday English language. Over 800 words we don't even use anymore that are in the Bible, in the King James Version.
You know, when I went to university, we had I majored in English to try to help, and the English professor told me, and he wasn't saved, his mother was saved, but he was actually quite a heavy drinker, but he told us, he said, the greatest example of the English language in all the world is the King James Bible. He said it came from the days of Shakespeare. He said you may not understand all the words of Shakespeare, but you can see exactly what they mean and what he's trying to present. And he says so is the word of God. There may be some old English word forms there,
right?
But the meaning is the same. And we have today the word of God in the greatest English language that could ever be accepted. As a matter of fact, we spend time here. We can take a Chinese student, and I can give them the word of God on tape, and then I can tell them, you take the Bible now and follow along, and it doesn't take very long before they learn to read English. We had a man just living next door, and he couldn't read, and I said, I want to give you, first of all, the Gospel of St. John, then I want to give you the New Testament, and I want you to sit down, I want you to listen to the word of God, and I want you to follow along in the word of God, and in less than 6 months, that boy could read. And I just believe there's nothing like the King James Bible. It's so simple.
Yeah, well, I'd have to disagree with you there. See, it would be simple, sir, from your generation, because you're 88 years old, correct?
89
now. And I understand that, because you and I grew up in vastly different time periods. I didn't learn Elizabethan. I really didn't. I didn't learn Shakespearean language. And so when I come across, you know, for example, in the King James Version of the Bible, the word advertise means tell. Allege means prove. Conversation means behavior. Communicate means share. Take through means be anxious. Prevent means proceed. Meet is a general term for food. And anon and by translate Greek words, which means immediately. And that is very frustrating for me.
Not frustrating. All you have, you've got to study the Bible. Even with those words today, you take look up the word in a dictionary, And I look up a dictionary almost every day to find a word. If you're going to study, you've got to take the words and study them through. You just can't. That's what we have commentaries for. That's what we have Bible studies for, is to take these words and to find out what they are. For example, Paul says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, I look up that word, perilous. It's a good word. It means dangers and so on. And so we study the Word of God to find out what the words are. I mean, even John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We look at that word begotten and say, well, what does it mean? Well, of course, the versions, what they do away with it altogether.
Yeah. Let me read, and this is our last thing, we'll let you go. I want to read this to you. This is a passage told completely in the language of the King James Version. These words that are used here, and I've got all the scriptural references from the King James Version, so these are actually words used in the King James Version. I want to read you this paragraph, okay? And I just need your reaction to this, and then we'll let you go. I so much appreciate your time today. Thank you for this.
Thanks.
Folks, we're on the phone with Pastor Perry F. Rockwood from the People's Gospel Hour. Here's the paragraph. I'm not sure whether I can get through this. Sith the noise of the bruit of this school hath reached to thee word, we trust that our concourse liketh you well, particularly those who blaze abroad, that there is error here. Whoso setteth thee against us, whoso saith we offend all, speaketh leasing. We not be affrighted, but withal we are straitened in our bowels. Excuse me. We knoweth well that what thou whilst here straightway wilt fast close up thy thoughts. With some we be objects, some have defied us, but there has been no daysman betwixt us. They subvert the simple. That's a tough paragraph.
Where's that from?
Well, those are all words used in the King James Version.
Oh, yeah? Well, I don't know a verse with that thing. All I know is that I'm saved on the basis of the Word of God. The very simplicity, these things are written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I know that God answers prayer. And I'm not taken up with all of these problems that you have. My problem is just to believe the Word of God, to walk with God every day, and to accept exactly the King James Version as it is. I don't want versions that take away the deity of Christ, that change the whole doctrine, not just words and spelling, but the doctrine itself. And I believe that I hold in my hand the preserved Word of God today, the King James Bible.
Is there no benefit in reading from all translations to get a good grasp of things?
There's no benefit whatever. The King James Bible is God's Word for today.
Right. No benefit. Those other translations are apt. You can throw them in the garbage.
Throw them in the garbage. I wouldn't have them in the book room. Those back in 1954, 55, 56, when those Revised Standard Version came, we sold 9. And when I found out they changed the whole meaning of the deity of Christ, I put the 93 in the furnace.
Okay. All right. Pastor Perry F. Rockwood from the People's Gospel Hour. I appreciate your time with us.
God bless you, and I thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.